Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Today is a very special Tuesday. Anyone who has spent time with ESPN Radio over the years knows how passionate we are about doing whatever we can to support the V Foundation for Cancer Research, and we're kicking off V Week today. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on ESPN News. Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Gold Jr. with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, today we've had amazing guests so far. We've had Bob Valvano, who's on the call for the Champions Classic. We've got Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas all facing off, and Bob is also Jimmy V's brother. And we've also had Shelley Smith, our ESPN reporter and three-time cancer survivor, joining us today to really share their stories, which is a great start for V-Week here on Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, we know this is a super challenging year for so many, but if you're able, please join us in your support this year, which means more now than ever before, v.org/donate. Right, Junior?
v.org/donate. And again, we know there have been so many unique challenges in this year. We know a lot of people are financially in a difficult place this year, and we want to be respectful of that for everybody. But Giving Tuesday has become such a big initiative overall for so many people on this day to be reminded what the season is about and to give to those who are most in need. And I think you touched on it there, Jhené. During this year, we know people that have dealt with cancer are further and higher at risk for contracting COVID-19. There have been difficulties not only in that, but in the care for patients with cancer. And so anything that anyone can do, v.org/donate, if you are able to, is greatly, greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and absolutely. And not too long ago, we got some good vibes when it came to college football, all that analysis from you that was completely biased. Okay, but hey, we turned up. Shout out to the mix on that. So in that spirit of everything, giving and the holidays as well, we are delighted to be joined right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Rod Gilmore, our own ESPN college football analyst here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Rod, thank you so much for joining us on Giving Tuesday. And you have had a personal battle with cancer. Can you share what today really means to you?
Well, first of all, thank you both for doing this and supporting the V Foundation and just bringing so much attention to Giving Tuesday. You know, cancer is a significant battle, and the Foundation has been making terrific inroads. And I like to tell my friends when we talk about this that we really do have cancer on the run. You know, we have to finish the job, but we have them on the run. There have been more advances in the last several years than ever before. So this day means an awful lot because the money that's raised for cancer research is not wasted at all. It is making a huge difference.
It is truly making a massive difference. And again, with the V Foundation, any donation, 100% of every dollar donated is going towards funding cancer research, an incredible cause. And like you said, we are so honored to be a part of help kicking off V Week here in a very different year. Rod Gilmore with us here on Jhené Angola Jr. Rod was also in the booth. We talked to Shelley Smith earlier, was on the call for the Civil War Oregon State this past weekend. And Rod, we've got the College Football Playoff Committee getting together again to release their second round of rankings tonight, and all eyes seem to be on Ohio State right now. Rod, how surprised are you that the Big Ten found themselves in this position where Ohio State may not be eligible for the Big Ten title depending on how things go in these final few weeks here, but still could be eligible for the playoff?
You know, Mike, I think they're probably a little surprised, but I think once we saw that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would be late starters with the season, that anything was possible and that it would be an uphill battle for both of those conferences, but primarily for the Pac-12. And make no mistake about it, the committee has an Ohio State problem. And I believe personally that they have to start addressing it tonight. Ohio State's played, you know, half as many games as the other top four or five teams. If you wait until the last week or the next to last week to start accounting for that lack of data, you're going to have a huge outcry across the country that it's just not fair. It's not right. So right now, Ohio State has been getting the advantage of the eye test and the brand name, but it's hard to compare a team with four games against teams that have played 9, 8, 10. So I think the committee needs to make the adjustment tonight, move them down a little bit, and then go on from there.
Here with Rod Gilmore, ESPN college football analyst here on Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, and also streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Now, Rod, I have this really personal question. Stanford grad, we've got Nerd Nation in the building, but how did you also do Cal? How did you also do Cal for the, you know, postgrad? Like, how did you cross those enemy lines? I'm trying to understand this.
Janae, you know, I can only blame it on getting hit in the head too many times on the football field. And, you know, it was like going to law school right now. Didn't even really think about it until I was actually there. But in my defense, I can say this honestly. I don't go to Berkeley and spend money there willingly, and have not and will not.
Amen to that. They can keep the gear. And it's funny because you talk about, you know, working the Civil War and the Pac-12. What have you sort of learned from the process of college football, especially in the Pac starting later, and the challenges that this season has presented?
Well, you know, I think there'll be a postmortem on this season, and the Pac-12 will do it. And I think it's an open question as to whether history will view the decision to go forward as right or not. I think one thing that is pretty clear now, that it's a lot more challenging than everyone thought it was going to be. And we're in the middle of what is a huge spike in the pandemic, and it's having a huge impact on college football. And, you know, we're looking right now, Stanford has decided to play its two next games in the Pacific Northwest because they can't practice in Santa Clara County because of the new rules. So you ask yourself, well, is that the right thing to do, to take student athletes and for the next 12, 13 days head up to Seattle and Portland and have your own bubble up there? Well, they're not doing it for money, because the cost for doing this is basically going to wipe out just about any money that they get in return for playing those games. So I think they really do care about letting the players have their final say of playing this season at whatever cost that is. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned. I was way more skeptical when it started, that it was only about money and the players' concerns were a little bit by the wayside. But I think that's shifted in my view a little bit.
Rod, I'm curious, and sticking with the Pac-12 and all this one, what does this conference have to do to get back in the mix in a meaningful way? We know they came into this year already in a difficult spot nationally when it comes to recognition at the playoff level. And we mentioned that Oregon-Oregon State game. Oregon was at this time the highest-ranked team in the Pac-12 at 15 last week, and they take that loss, so going to be completely out of the mix in this. What do you think this conference has to do in the coming years to try and get itself more relevant again?
Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of work. It's pretty simple. You got to win. You got to win those big games. You got to have a team step up and become a dominant team. It's not enough to have parity where every team takes a loss against somebody during the season. You have to have the elite players want to play in your conference. And over the last 2 years, we've seen great players from California and Hawaii wind up in places like Alabama and Clemson and other places, and that will continue to happen until the conference starts to develop a better reputation of winning and playing in big games. That's the bottom line. It's going to take that kind of an effort over time to get there.
And it's going to be a difficult road ahead, no doubt, but I think college football will be a lot better for it when a lot of these brands out on the West Coast are, again, a bigger part of that national conversation. Rod, we appreciate the time and the insight and you sharing story with us, man. Absolutely. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I want to share one little thing back on the cancer topic before I go.
Absolutely.
And that is that in my case, when my cancer was discovered, I did not have any symptoms. It was only discovered through an annual physical. And if you guys are anything like me, you know people and you have friends who do not get annual checkups. And if you don't get an annual checkup, you hurt yourself. You don't give yourself a chance to fight. And for me, because I got the annual checkup and it was discovered early, I've had a chance to fight my blood cancer, multiple myeloma. And without that checkup, I would not be fighting as well as I am. I would put it that way. So I encourage everyone to make sure that they pay attention to their health. I know COVID is difficult and makes people want to stay home, but you gotta get checkups and take care of yourself.
Absolutely incredible advice, and one everyone would do well to follow. So thank you for that, Rod. Rod, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for what you're doing, and have a great one.
Thank you. You too, Rod. Rod Gilmore with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and sound advice there. Everyone would do well to follow, and taking care of themselves physically, mentally, and in every way possible on this day and every day we've got around here. So we will continue to hit on all day long what our main goal is here, helping kick off V-Week with ESPN, something very important, near and dear to everyone here. But Rod mentioned this on the football front, and I thought it was interesting. The committee has an Ohio State problem. How do they solve that? We'll tell you next. It's Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
During these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer hasn't stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research. Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If you can give, today is the day. V.org/donate. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will talk about the most talked about team in the NFL in the worst way. Yes, I'm talking about the Eagles. But first, let's head to the college ranks. Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also today on ESPN News, Chenan Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., proudly from Notre Dame offensive lineman. He's feeling really good about himself. Today, the college football playoff rankings come in very soon. Now, Junior, last week we celebrated that you guys were number two in the initial rankings, and that is a spot that normally predicts the national champion in college football. But you just said this, that the committee has an Ohio State problem. Now, can you tell me what that problem specifically is and also what the solution is?
The problem is Ohio State has played four games so far in the season of COVID disruption. The problem is that their last two games that are supposed to be against Michigan State and Michigan both could potentially be in jeopardy because of the ongoing COVID-19 cases we've seen. Ohio State's head coach, Ryan Day, has tested positive for COVID-19 and will not be on the sideline for the game this weekend. So this is all a fluid situation. And we know the Big Ten coming into this season decided to have a 6-game minimum in order to be eligible to play in the conference championship game. That creates a bit of a difficult spot in this one, Chenae, and it creates a problem that we're going to enlist some help to solve, and we're going to do it in something around here that we call one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Because, Chenae, most people think Paul Feinbaum, and they think of the SEC. They think of what he's done in that conference, and a lot of angry phone callers here wanting to talk about nobody wants Bama. But Paul Feinbaum also laid out something pretty interesting here, and a good reminder, Chenae, that it's never too late to do the right thing. When you look at why the Big Ten came back, when you look at what their goals are in this situation, Paul Feinbaum states pretty bluntly what needs to happen going forward.
They are making it up as they go along. They canceled the season on August 11th. They came back. Then they put in all these protocols. Go back in there and change it again. Who cares? I mean, it's, the whole college football season has been turned upside down anyway. Why make it difficult when In the beginning, the Big Ten came back for Ohio State, so don't leave your best team and your best hope on the side of the road naked and getting run over by cars. I mean, prop them up and find them a way back into the Big Ten championship game.
Paul paints a very vivid picture, Chenae.
That is a very specific picture.
I don't know why they had to be naked getting run over by the cars. Freak man.
I don't know either.
Hey, you know what?
I feel like it's just as bad whether you have clothes or not.
It is, Chenae. But you look at what Ohio State has done so far. They've played four games, and at this point, their best win would be over formerly ninth-ranked Indiana. And you look at the college football playoff polls from last week, IU checked in at number 12 in last week's poll. IU's going to be out without their star quarterback going forward, so that ranking is likely to become even more troublesome, as at this point, Northwestern on the other side, who fresh off an eighth-ranked seating in the initial rounds of the college football playoff committee, got dropped by Michigan State this weekend. They've locked up their spot in the Big Ten championship. We're going to get probably IU and Northwestern in the Big Ten title game and then have people staring up and wondering here, is Ohio State going to make it? And Chenae, at this point, I would look at it and say, unless Ohio State is able to play both of these last two games, finish with six games on their schedule, finish 6-0, and really look dominant in these last two outings, I could see a very real world where they're missing the playoff all of a sudden. We're a Texas A&M team that's sitting there at 5-1 right now. Their only loss, albeit in blowout fashion, to an Alabama team that sits at number one in the country that looks every bit like the best team in college football right now. And so, Chenae, it's less to me about the sanctity of a conference championship, which has never, quite frankly, meant all that much to me. It's about another data point. and the Big Ten creating an opportunity for Ohio State to have that, a chance at another data point, a chance to show the committee yet again, because that's what conference championships really are. Not something you can hold over Notre Dame's head as an independent for all these years, but an opportunity when all the committee is watching to go out there and show we deserve to be a part of this, because with the schedule they've played so far, with the performances Ohio State's put out there, I think you would have a hard time saying that resumes mean anything and allowing that Ohio State team in the playoff as it currently sits, Janae.
Giving you snaps. So I think it's really interesting when you bring up the championship, you know, the conference championship games. I think it's good, me personally, holistically in sports, when you have a top team, a team that has beat everyone in the conference, or at least as many people as possible, prove themselves once again against the top competition. Do you think that that's not necessarily as valuable?
Well, no, I think that is valuable. But in this year, that's why it's interesting. And that's why I'm hoping everyone stands up and reads the room this year, because usually what we get is, like we're getting in the Big Ten right now, division winners facing off. So that doesn't ensure necessarily you get the best two teams in the conference. It means you get the teams that manage to win their division. The ACC has gone to that Big 12 round-robin formula this year. Notre Dame already securing their spot in the ACC championship game because of the schedules that have moved around here. But it was always going to be the top two teams in the conference, based on record and winning percentage, we're going to play each other. That ensures that you get what you described in that situation, Chinee, playing another top-quality opponent.
And you're not getting that this year if people are just getting there by, you know, I guess you can say luck in the sense of dealing with adversity and benefiting from the COVID situation in a crazy way playing football. Now, the college football rankings all come out tonight. How are you feeling, bro? Like, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good right now, Janae. Listen, I think it's going to be largely a similar picture. I think it's going to be really interesting what happens in this case, because remember, this past weekend, Ohio State was supposed to play Illinois. That game got canceled. Texas A&M got a 20-7 win over LSU, which sounds impressive on paper until you consider this year's LSU. So would that be enough to potentially vault them over Ohio State, who sat idle, who's only got those four games? Will the committee send a message in that spot, Chinee? Because I believe ultimately this year, Ohio State is probably one of the four best teams in football. I think knowing what we know about that team. But if you're going to reward resume at all during the course of the season as we get on down the stretch here, at some point the committee's going to have to make that abundantly clear to everybody, or else we'll know for sure that this is really just, hey, we know what we see in this room. The eye test is going to will out over everything.
Agreed. And I'm just wondering, I'm reading the room here. Devin, Cliff, did you guys hear that I actually like said bruh? I was totally comfortable and I called Junior bruh. Did you guys catch that?
We are making progress.
It is, man. You know what? It's baby steps on this show. We celebrate milestones.
Better than John, right?
Or Bull.
Bull?
Why do y'all bully me on here, man? Like, what's wrong with y'all? I thought it was everybody love everybody. All I do is I feel like I get bullied and attacked here every single day.
You sound like a salty John right now.
Yeah, you sound really
salty.
Can
we get the break, please?
Super salty, bruh. You can't even roll a transition on us because we got, yeah. Okay,
you know what? Coming up next, I don't know if it's a bad John or a bad Bull or whatever it is, but we got to figure out the quarterback room in Philadelphia. The one solution to all of Philadelphia's problems should be overwhelmingly simple. That's next. Cliff. It's Chinee and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Cliff.
You could honor Stuart Scott's memory by giving to his research fund that supports minority researchers and the research of why some cancers are more likely to impact some minority populations. If you're able, give to this important cause at v.org/Stuart. That's Stuart.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If anything, the unprecedented circumstances of the pandemic have made the work of the V Foundation really, really important, because cancer patients are particularly vulnerable right now in the middle of the pandemic. And it just keeps bringing me back to Jim Valvano's message of don't give up, don't ever give up. And we're speaking straight to you and those who are suffering. And that's why we are here today as we kick off V Week. This means so much now, this year more than ever before. So if you are able to donate, if you're able to give, that is once again v.org/donate. And if you're able to head to ESPN Plus right now, please do it, because in about 10 minutes, we will roll the tape on one of our company's legends, one of the best in the game, as we celebrate Stuart Scott. Now, we are Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also today on ESPN News, Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Penzoil Performance Lines. Shell Penzoil Performance Lines. Now, let's get to it, because We've been talking about it. We've been talking around it. Let's talk about the Eagles. They suffer a tough loss, even though like there was the Hail Mary and everyone's like, oh, that's cute, but it's not real. That was like sort of like a fake whatever situation that set it up, where we all know how the game sort of ended up when they took on the Seahawks. Now, Carson Wentz really seems like he is in the hot seat. Doug Peterson is ducking questions from the media, tough questions that he seems to not be able to find the right answers for. Let's just say Philly is going to have a lot of uncomfortable conversations right now in their film room as they try to move forward from what this season has been. And I've just said, like, just chalk it up to 2020 and start focusing not on the short term, but trying to get back to that team you were 2 or 3 years ago. Now, do you feel like that's the sentiment that a couple teams are sharing also, Junior, in the NFL?
What, the uncomfortable conversations right now?
Necessary. I mean, it's holiday season. Like, this is sort of when you start getting in tune with your feelings, your emotions. You start dealing with the real reality so that you can set yourself up for new year, new me.
I think it's interesting for Philadelphia in particular, Chiney. They are, like, Doug Peterson is starting to get the question. Like, for so long, the focus has been on Carson Wentz. We have all spent our time and energy. And this goes back to the Carson Wentz-Dak Prescott comparisons for so many years that were a thing around here. It's put, like, in my mind, an undue amount of focus on Carson Wentz relative to accomplishments so far in this league. But when you're a quarterback and one that gets to a second contract and is highly paid as he is, maybe that's, you know, naive of me to think. But now it is shifted. Now everyone is under the microscope in this situation. And so Doug Peterson was asked after this game about his job status and what sort of assurances he's received.
I haven't been reassured one way or the other, no.
Do you feel like you're, you know, the way that things are going, that your job is in jeopardy, you know, at least following the season?
You know, listen, I've been around this league a long time, 25 years, I believe, as a player and a coach. And you know, we're always based on and we're evaluated on our performance. And right now, that's obviously not my concern as far as that decision goes. That's out of my hands. But what's in my hands and in my control is getting the team prepared and ready for Green Bay this weekend.
And Chiney, I that's an understandable answer. And Doug Peterson has been around this league, was a player in this league, knows exactly what his quarterback is going through in a lot of ways because of that reason. And that's why, Chiney, I'm so shocked that it seems to be so flippant the way things are going there. I can't speak to what's going on inside of that Eagles building, but all I can hope at this point is that what's going to happen going forward is communicated a lot more clearly than it seems to have been up until now. Because we've heard all of this discourse in the media about what's going on with Jalen Hurts taking more reps as a one. This idea of, you know, is Carson Wentz's job status safe? It needs to be clearly communicated, because you know this. There's thick skin most of the time around locker rooms when it comes to criticism. You make your entire living as an athlete being told this is what you're doing wrong and fix it. And so I think a clear understanding of where everyone sits going down the stretch, so there's no looking over your shoulder, so there's no understanding, unless there needs to be, of what's going on at the quarterback situation, what our plan is going to be as an offense going into the remainder of this season, and how we come together on that. Because if these conversations just keep happening and this nerve keeps getting touched each and every week, eventually you're going to have a locker room fracture, because everyone can't survive that over the course of what's already a stressful season.
Yeah, and I think this is not, like, I think the pressure of the NFC East right now, the all the teams that are in there and struggling and fighting at the bottom to be the team at the top that gets a guaranteed playoff game, like, I think that's not helping them too, because they feel like, all right, we have to fix this quickly, whether it's inserting Jalen Hurts or not, it's sticking with Carson or not. Like, they're trying to find these quick solutions. But there's a nugget that I found that actually highlights that this is not something that is just in this season, even though you can sort of say this season has made it more challenging. This is something for the long term that you need to address. 7 of the Eagles' 12 wins in the last 2 years have come against quarterbacks who are not NFL starters, meaning this year, Ben DiNucci, Nick Mullins, and Daniel Jones. And then last year, you have guys like Mitch Trubisky and Case Keenum. And so while you have been getting wins, even though they're not signature wins, these wins have been coming against lesser talent and competition. And so now moving forward, you need to address that problem. That's not a problem that you can fix game to game with these like Band-Aids. Like, this is something that actually needs long-term treatment.
It does. It needs so much work, Chiney, that again, right now, putting a Band-Aid on as best you can, and everyone being honest. I feel like so much of what we do and so much of what we hear from coaches tends to be sleight of hand. It tends to be trying to make sure that the media doesn't hear everything that's going on internally. The Eagles need to play with the cards up from here on out so that everyone stops getting asked about, you know, this, the head coach says something, Doug Peterson has to respond to what Brett Favre is saying, and then everyone in the media runs over, in this case, zooms over to Carson Wentz and said, did you hear this? No, it's got to be on lockstep. The one thing the Pittsburgh Steelers do in my mind better than anyone else is they are on message. Mike Tomlin is going to tell that team exactly what's going on. He's going to go and present his message, regardless of what he's asked about, exactly the way it is to the outside world. And everyone has an understanding of where they sit. And it just seems from the outside looking in right now, based on the way things have gone for Philly, there is a lack of understanding in that spot. That is going to be what they have to contend with going forward, Chiné, and that is certainly going to be this team trying to come in hot down the stretch of the season. Coming in hot, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life. But coming up next, if we want to talk about uncomfortable conversations, I have the most uncomfortable conversation, bar none, that is going to be had in one NFL household coming up this weekend. Oh. That and one of the most iconic speeches in the history of the ESPYs. We will get to all that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
You could honor Stuart Scott's memory by giving to his research fund that supports minority researchers and the research of why some cancers are more likely to impact some minority populations. If you're able, give to this important cause at v.org/Stuart. That's S-T-U-A-R-T.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here on Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, we have officially kicked off V Week. Chiné Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. here with you. And we have to thank those who helped us do that today along the way. Shelly Smith, our own ESPN reporter, and also Rod Gilmore, our ESPN college football analyst, who both have done tremendous work over the course of the college football season so far, but both have also battled cancer. Now, as if having cancer is not hard enough to do by yourself, especially in a pandemic, let's send a message that you are not alone. V.org/donate. 100% of what you give will go to the researchers working so hard right now to find a cure. And we also have to give a thanks to Diana Russini, our own ESPN NFL reporter, who finally gave us, you know, some kind of hope when it comes to, we got a game on the schedule between the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's finally going to happen. All the heartfelt stories that we heard today over the course of our three-hour show, you can find them on the podcast, Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure you guys, you know, subscribe, rate, and review. But, like, if today you're going to take that day off, if you can, go and donate, because that is the number one message.
Yeah, again, v.org/donate. Chiné, we've all been touched by cancer in one way, shape, or form in our lives, and we've gotten to see people respond and fight it and do it because of the support that they've had from so many. And for a lot of us that are never going to be doctors, never going to do the things and be doctors like your sister, you know, like the people that we've seen out there, and be able to help this fight in real tangible ways directly, the best way that we can do this is with our time and with our money and with our presence in this along the way. And this is a great day. V Week around here at ESPN is such a great reminder that that is how we can go out and affect this in a positive way. So again, we know it's been a tough year. We know it's been a very different year for everybody. And so everyone might not be financially able to help in the ways that they would always want to, but every bit helps. 100% of every dollar goes towards funding cancer research here. There are no fees you have to worry about. That is all covered by a separate endowment. 100% of every dollar at v.org/donate, if you feel so kind. We want to keep certainly that energy at the forefront of what we do around here, what's been a thread throughout the entire day. But on this show, we also got to keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiné and Golic Jr.
And let's start things off. She is beauty, she is grace, and she was kind enough to not rub being 30 under 30 all up in our face. Chiné Ogwumike on the Forbes 30 under 30 list, getting after it out here.
You're a poet and you don't even know it. I really appreciate y'all. Again, we are a squad. We are a team. This is for all of us. All of us are together here in this. But I'd like to take this moment to celebrate the women that also joined me on here. Asia Wilson, also WNBA MVP. Natasha Cloud. There's Christina Pink. Ari Ivory that have really came through. And then, of course, our little sis, Malika Andrews. Those women are really doing some great things, and I'm just glad to be a part of the fold.
Absolutely. Congrats to everyone involved, but congrats to you, Chinee. We're obviously all super proud of you around here for what you continue to do, the trails you continue to blaze, and the impression that you make on everyone around you. So really awesome to see there. Really exciting for you and everyone today. That was a fun conversation to get to have. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator and now interim head coach for the Detroit Lions, had a different conversation and is going to have an even more uncomfortable conversation next. Here was Daryl Bevel talking at the podium during his press conference, Lions former offensive coordinator, now interim head coach, on what some conversations have happened with him behind the scenes recently.
On Saturday, I was with my family, my wife, my three daughters, and then my two, I guess, future son-in-laws now. They both wanted to talk to me this past weekend. But we were at the Henry Ford Museum, and we were having a good time there, and then got a text, ended up calling and talking to Rod and Sheila.
So this happens on the same weekend that two men asked you for your daughter's hands in marriage. Is that how we're understanding it correctly?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. I do have to say one thing, though. So the two guys asked me for my permission. They haven't officially asked them yet. So that's where that was. That was just permission. So I don't know when that's coming. But just to be clear.
Oh, no, Daryl. What is you doing?
What is you doing, baby? Like, literally, what is you doing, baby? Like, oh. I think he realized it after he said it. And he was like, just to be clear in media availability that, like, I don't think they've asked my daughters yet, but I did just tell you this, so can we walk this back?
I love how he asked the media, like, hey, can you guys help me keep this a secret? I just goofed here.
Yo, I would take that over a Jumbotron proposal, a post-game proposal, a hot air balloon proposal.
Yeah.
Actually, hot air balloon seems pretty cool.
I was going to say, that one seems kind of lovely. It's a little more private. But to your point, Chinee Igwumike has made it very clear that for any potential suitors out there, public proposals, especially at sporting events, off the table.
I mean, we're already living in gyms and, you know, on courts and, like, at the field, all that type of stuff. So I'm like, I want this. I want to look good. I want to look good. I want to be dressed up. That's going to be like lifetime pictures, okay? So
that is true.
But yeah, I feel bad. He got super nervous. I hope his daughters are cool.
Well, and Chinee, like, you wouldn't be bothered by this as his daughter, would you, this idea? Because, like, I feel like people at that point in the relationship have an idea of when this may potentially be coming, but this is a pretty obvious go sign that just got put up here.
I feel like if he said it so comfortably, like, this is something that's already, like, gone through the forefront of his head, and that, like, they actually got approved, so, like, you know this is coming. And, you know, women, like, I'm gonna make sure my sister knows the ring so that when he asks, like, oh, this is the one she wants. You know what I mean? Like, you already put the wheels in motion.
Absolutely. Chinee Angola Jr. reminding you, tune in tonight for college basketball action. Kansas takes on Kentucky. Michigan State battles Duke in the Champions Classic presented by Merrill. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, to close out today, we wanted to leave on a special note here. Obviously, Stuart Scott was one of our favorite teammates of all time. He delivered one of the most powerful messages that we've ever heard at the ESPYs, and we want to play his speech for you here now.
Every day I am reminded that our life's journey is really about the people who touch us. When I first heard that I was going to be honored with this reward, the very first thing that I did was I was speechless, briefly. I've presented this award before. I mean, I've watched in awe as Kay Yao and Eric LeGrand and all these other great people grace this stage. And although intellectually I get it, I'm a public figure, I have a public job, I'm battling cancer, hopefully I'm inspiring. At my gut level, I really didn't think that I belong with those great people. But I listened to what Jim Valvano said 21 years ago. The most poignant seven words ever uttered in any speech anywhere. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Those great people didn't. Coach Valvano didn't. So to be honored with this, I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I'm not special. I just listened to what the man said. I listened to all that he said, everything that he asked of us, and that's to build the V Foundation. And let me tell you, man, it works. I'm talking tangible benefits. You saw me in that clinical trial. Now, here's the thing about that. Coach Valvano's words 21 years ago, helping me and thousands of people like me right now, direct benefits. That's why all of this, why we're here tonight, that's why it's so important. I also realized something else recently. You heard me kind of allude to it in the piece. I said, I'm not losing. I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I got to amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.